One day, my Bible college professor said, "The Bible contains the answer to every question in life." And I raised my hand and I said, "What's the cube root of 27? And he said, "3, why?" And I said, "Well, the Bible doesn't give us the answer to the cube root of 27. So my professor looked at me for a while, and then he said, "The Bible contains the answer to every question in life that matters." I raised my hand, I said, "The cube root of 27 matters if you're a mathematician." He looked at me for a while. Then my Bible college professor said, "The Bible contains an answer to every question in life that matters in terms of our relationship with God and our relationships with others." And he looked at me. So I went with that. But it doesn't, not really. There are many important questions in life that the Bible does not answer for us. What school should I attend? What should I major in? Should I go to school at all? What company should I work with? What position should I take? Should I date? Who should I date? Who should I marry? Should I marry? My boss is unethical. Should I just keep my head down and do my job, or should I confront him? Where should I live? What kind of home should I buy? Which church should I be part of? How much should I offer of myself to the church? My child's gifted. How should I encourage her? How hard should I push? My friend's addiction is draining me. Should I just cut my losses and leave? Should I bite the bullet and get more involved? There are lots of situations in life that the Bible does not address. Now, where there's a "thus saith the Lord," we know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to put Jesus and his kingdom first. We're supposed to do unto others what we would want them to do to us in the same situation. We're not to experience intimacy with people that we're not married to. We are not to kill people, nor are we to want to kill them in our hearts. Scripture is clear on some things. Some things are always right, some things are always wrong. But a lot of life never gets mentioned in the Bible. You cannot find films or fracking or Facebook in a concordance, which means that knowing and following the rules of Scripture is not enough. That's where we start. We cannot ignore those because what the Bible says is always true. But the rules in the Bible are not all-encompassing for what we have to decide in life. So what are we supposed to do with the 90% of life's decisions that are left unaddressed? And I'm so glad you asked. The answer can be found in Proverbs, which, by the way, this sermon is a commercial for. There are 31 pages in Proverbs. And at the end of the sermon, I hope you will decide in your heart to read a page a day, every day, for the rest of your life. For instance, this Thursday is July 1st. I hope on July 1st you will read Proverbs number 1. On Friday, it's July 2nd. I hope on Friday, July 2nd, you read Proverbs number 2. And so on throughout July. A page of Proverbs a day, every day of the month, every month for the rest of your life, so that you can find the answer to the hard questions of life. And before you say, "But wait, Walker, I thought you just said the Bible does not address everything." I did not say that the book of Proverbs addresses all the things we wonder about. What I said was it has the answer to the things that matter in the book of Proverbs. The answer is in there. Proverbs, most people, when they think of Proverbs, if they kind of know Scripture, they think, well, those are short, pithy sayings, you know, things that you could put in fortune cookies. Like in Proverbs, you can probably find the line, "The man who invented the Ferris wheel and the man who invented the merry-go-round traveled in different circles." Or in Proverbs, you could probably find the line, "A perfectionist walked into a bar, apparently it wasn't set high enough." Or you could probably find somewhere in Proverbs, people think, "I love the way the earth rotates, it really makes my day." But no, more than that, Proverbs is not just smart little sayings. It is a manual on how to learn the one thing in life that will help us to know how to deal with all the unaddressed things. Proverbs is a manual on how to gain wisdom. Wisdom allows us to make good decisions in life where God hasn't clearly said. Which is why the author of Proverbs 8 says wisdom is the key to living life. It's the thing that we should go after harder than anything else. In Proverbs 8:10, it says, "Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." Proverbs says if you have a choice, if you can have wisdom or a large bank account, get wisdom. Because Proverbs says, if you have money and no wisdom, you're probably going to end up in trouble. But if you have wisdom and no money, you're probably going to be okay. It's the one thing that can help you do all of life well, wisdom. If you develop wisdom, then you are ready for anything that comes your way, come what may. Because according to Proverbs 8, in verse 14, wisdom contains qualities we need, like counsel and sound judgment are mine, it says. I have insight, I have power. Wisdom says, I have insight, I have power, which being interpreted means wisdom is when you know how things really work. You know the behind-the-scenes stuff. Like when Penn and Teller go to a David Copperfield show, I imagine that they're entertained, but they are wise to how tricks work. And when you're wise, you can watch things go on and know what's really happening. You're not easily tricked. You have an understanding of how things work. And people who have wisdom have insight. Another quality that wise people have, according to Proverbs, it says, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. Prudence is a word we almost never hear anymore, but we like when we see it in action. Prudence refers to the ability to notice small distinctions in what's around us. For instance, Holmes and Watson went camping one time, and after dinner they laid down for the night and they went to sleep. Hours later, Holmes awoke Watson, and he said, Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see. And Watson looked up. He said, I see millions of stars. And Sherlock Holmes says, what does that tell you? And Watson thought for a moment, and then he said, well, astronomically, it tells me that there are billions of planets. Horologically, I deduce that the time is about 3:15 a.m. right now. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and we are very small and insignificant. Concerning weather, it makes me think that tomorrow is going to be a beautiful day. Why, Sherlock, what does it tell you? And he said, Watson, you idiot, someone stole our tent. Sherlock Holmes, we walk into a room, we see stuff. He sees clues. This is longer than that. That is warmer than it should be. The tent is missing. Sherlock Holmes figures out mysteries. He has what this word prudence is talking about. He can see distinctions. Wise people can see things that matter that other people will miss. Like a wise person will say, wow, that person is really sad. Wow, that situation is more messed up than anybody knows. Wow, what a wonderful opportunity we have here. Wow, we need to do this right now. Wisdom knows how things really happen and how things really are. And in verse 15 and 16 of Proverbs 8, there's one more quality that shows up in wise people. It says, wisdom says, by me, kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern and nobles, all who rule on earth. Wisdom isn't only knowing how things work and how things are, wisdom knows what to do about them. I don't know who you consider wise in your life, but whoever you do, it's because they are a good judge of things. They seem to know what to do. Even in situations they've never been in before, they can handle it because they're wise. And when they do stuff, they do the right stuff at the right time, and it just seems to turn out well. A definition of wisdom, according to Gerhard von Rad, is wisdom is becoming competent in regard to the realities of life. It's getting good at doing life. The person who has wisdom sees what's going on around him, around her. The person who has wisdom knows how that's happening. And the person with wisdom knows what to do about it. It's what we need to deal with all of the situations in life that the Bible doesn't address, which is why wisdom is worth more than all the silver and all the gold and all the power and all the prestige in life. So it seems good, right? How do we get it? Where can we learn it? What is the way of acquiring wisdom? Well, the process of gaining wisdom is, according to Proverbs, a process. It is a process. Wisdom is earned over a period of time. Now, the Bible does say in James, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And that's true. What James says is true. It will be given to you. But things can be given at different rates of speed, right? For instance, if Jacob asked his grandfather to teach him how to tie a tie, Steve could probably do that in a couple minutes, right? But if Jacob asked his grandfather to teach him how to golf well, that would take a little longer. I'm sure Steve would be glad to teach Jacob how to golf, but not by tomorrow morning. The giving of wisdom, the gaining of wisdom, is a process. It is one of the things in life that takes time. Only once in the Bible was wisdom ever granted instantaneously, miraculously, immediately. Do you remember the third king of Israel, Solomon? God once said to Solomon, I will give you anything you want. What do you want? And Solomon asked for wisdom, which kind of proves he already had some. And God liked what Solomon asked for, so he gave him wisdom and wealth and honor as well. I have a footnote here. If you ever do rub a lamp and a genie pops out to grant you three wishes, use your first wish to get wisdom to know how to use the next two wishes. End of footnote. So God did once microwave wisdom and give it to someone, Solomon. But Solomon, like Tigger, is the only one. The rest of us have to earn wisdom over a period of time. Even Jesus had to do it over a period of time. Luke tells us that Jesus went down to Nazareth when he was 12 years old. He went with his parents and he obeyed them. And his mother treasured all these things up in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew in wisdom. Wisdom is something we grow in. God gives it to us over time, but it's a process. You gain wisdom over time, often by learning from your unwise choices. So a while back, a couple years ago, Roberto had surgery. And I went down to see how it went, and I was checking on him at the hospital. And when I got there, he was getting ready to come home already. They were cleaning up and getting him ready to go. And Tammy asked me, she said, hey, John, if you're going home, if you could drop off our prescription at CVS, then when we go home, it would already be ready. We could just pick it up. It would be much quicker. Could you do that? I said, sure. So I drove to the CVS window, and the nice lady there greeted me, and I handed her the script, and she looked at it, and she said, this is for Roberto? And I said, yep. And she said, okay, what's your birthday? I said, I don't know. She looked at me. She said, you don't know your birthday? I said, oh, no, I'm dropping this off for a friend. She looked at me. She said, you're dropping off a Percocet script for a friend? I said, yeah, good friend of mine. He just had surgery. He's just trying to get him some painkillers. She said, wait right here. And she went away for a while, and she talked to somebody in the back, and then she came back. And she said, okay, can you tell me where your good friend lives? I said, yes. I was just at their house last week. Wait, I know this. I thought for a minute. And then I had it. I remembered the address. I remembered the number. I remember the street name. I was so proud of myself I was doing it. I was remembering, keen mind for an old guy. And she looked at the computer when I gave her the address, and she shook her head. And she walked off to talk to somebody in the back again. That's when I remembered that the address I had given was for another church member who lives on the Presa Street. And the lady came back, and she said, I don't think we can do this for you. And I said, wait. Roberto and I are part of the same church. He just had surgery. I was just there in the hospital. He's coming out of the hospital. He's going to stop by here on the way home. He'll know his date of birth and address. I'm just trying to save them some time. Could you please fill this prescription? And she looked at me for a long time. And she said, okay, as long as you're not the one picking it up for him, I will do this. But, she said, if you ever try this again, you're going to need to do way better. And I said, oh, no, ma'am, don't worry. We're never going to try this again. No, thank you. And I drove away quickly before any police came by. Can you see the headlines the next day? Local pastor arrested on drug trafficking charges. Not really good. You learn wisdom from trying. You try to apply what you think is right. You evaluate the results, and then you try again. You don't instantly know how to cook. You don't instantly know how to play trumpet. You don't instantly know how to weld. You don't suddenly become a great pickleball player. You don't suddenly know how to be a pilot or illegally acquire drugs for good friends. Some things in life take time to master, and wise is one of those things. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. True, but you don't just pray and God zaps you with wisdom. Pow, bam, you got it, you're wise. He gives you chances to grow wise if you ask him, but it is a process. He gives us ways, and as we walk in the direction that he gives us, we grow wiser and wiser. The Bible talks about our lives as a path we're on, like it's a road that we're walking down. Here are some examples. In Proverbs 13, it says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." The Bible repeatedly says life is a path, and wisdom can be acquired as we walk down that path. So how do you walk down a path? Slow, steady, almost mundane movements, right? You want to get where you're going, you take steps repeatedly in the same direction. Right, left, nothing spectacular, nothing fancy. To go down a trail, you walk, you move, you go. Becoming a wise person is a result of what you do every day in your life. Scripture presents wisdom to us as a path that we are walking on, not a door that we step through. When you come to a door and you go through it, that's it, you're in a new place. But when you go down a path, it's going to take a while. You just got to keep going. And we don't like that part. You go to any checkout counter and you'll notice the titles in the magazine articles. 3 ways to lose 10 pounds in one day. 7 easy steps to raise good kids by next week. Learn Mandarin in 14 days. What are they talking? We want wisdom and we want it now, which proves we don't have it. Wisdom comes to people who adopt certain practices and then do them every day. Taking up a set of daily repeatable steps, that's how we become wise. Sometimes people come to me, they come in to talk and they say, "I'm trying to find God's will for my life." And I go, "Great." They say, "I've got a great big decision to make, a life-changing decision. I want to know God's will." I say, "Great." They say, "How can I know what I should do?" I say, "Well, what have you done so far?" Sometimes they say, "Well, I prayed, but I didn't have any peace about it." Sometimes they say, "Well, I asked God to give me a sign. Do you think this was my sign?" Sometimes they'll say, "Well, I decided I would let God speak to me, so I just opened the Bible, I pointed to a verse, and I hoped that God would direct me through Scripture." When people come to me asking how to know God's will, I usually listen to them, and then I say, "That's dumb." I say, "What you should do is just decide. God gave you a brain, think about it, use your brain, and do what you decide to do." And people will say, "Come on, John, I'm trying to be spiritual here." And I say, "No, you're not. You're trying to do something that will make you wise instantly. You're trying magic. Wisdom doesn't come that way. It comes right, left, through everyday learning." I say, "You're trying to be wise, but you're not, and it's your fault." Aren't I good at counseling? I'm really good. Wisdom only comes from regularly working on certain activities as we go along the path. I have a kid's calendar joke. Can February, March? No, but April, May. Scripture says wise people march down the path towards wisdom. And when you do, after a period of time, you become a wise person. Like Will Rogers said, he said, "Don't gamble. Take all your savings and buy some good stock and hold it until it goes up. And if it doesn't go up, don't buy it." But that's silly. Obviously, you can't know before you know. There are no magic tricks. There are no shortcuts. Wisdom doesn't come to those who find the magic bullet. It comes to those who walk along a path, right, left, every day. Eventually, you find yourself wise. So what are these steps we need to be taking as we walk down the path? What are the everyday practices we need to engage in to get wise? What should we be doing that will lead us down this path towards wisdom? That's what the book of Proverbs helps us to know. That's why I want you to read it every day for the rest of your lives. Helps us to see the path to wise. Proverbs says, like, to become wise, you should choose wise friends. This is true. Proverbs says, to become wise, you should deny yourself your selfish instincts. This is true. Proverbs says, to become wise, you should reflect on unwise decisions that you make and their consequences and do it differently next time. Excellent advice. It also says that to get wise, you need to set your mind on God's thoughts. You need to think through life with God like he thinks. Some people think the Bible is full of stuff that's not even real. It's just make-believe kid stuff. like the story about the boy who said his mom told him to leave the peach cobbler in the kitchen alone. But he said he couldn't help himself. He snuck into the kitchen and he watched him making those little silly peach shoes. And he said, I kept saying, nobody's going to wear those. But on he worked. He's a peach cobbler. Work on it. Such a good story. So some people think that's the kind of stuff that's in the Bible. Ridiculous stuff, doesn't even make sense, not even real. Some people tell me that's what Scripture is full of. And I say, well, yeah, that. Or maybe Scripture is full of God's best thoughts on our deepest needs. Maybe the Bible has words on how life was made to be lived to the absolute max. Maybe we should walk with the wise. Maybe we should deny ourselves. Maybe we should think God's thoughts. All those things, those practices, if you will practice them, if you will repeat them, right, left, right, left, right, left, then you will become wise. But it's not those things that do it. That's not even really what the book of Proverbs recommends as the best way to become wise. My wife went to a corn maze thing one time with people from her work. She described it to me when she came home. She said, corn mazes, you can't see where you're going. You trip along rough ground. You bump into people. People actually try to trick you and confuse you. You feel lost and you get hit in the face a lot. I thought, wow, what a great experience. This is like all of life in a field of corn. Wow. And she told me how about an hour into all of that, one person in the group that she was with started freaking out, like really got panicky, started getting really agitated, and he wanted out, and he wanted out now. So they got him out. I said, well, Linda, how do you get out of the corn maze when you're stuck in the middle and you have no idea? And she told me there are people on the bridges above who can see everything below. And all you have to do, if you get all panicky and you're really in trouble, all you have to do is ask, and somebody on one of those bridges will guide you to the nearest exit. When you're down below in a maze, in a valley, in life, sometimes you cannot see your way through. And what you need is somebody above you to guide you through. Proverbs 8 uses a special literary device describing wisdom. It uses the device called personification, where you make something that's not a person into a person. You take an idea and you give it a body and a face and you think, what if this is like a real person? This chapter, Proverbs 8, actually the whole book, talks about wisdom as though she were a lady, which makes sense when you realize that this book was used in schools for young men. And lots of times when you read through a chapter in Proverbs, it'll say, my son do this, my son do this. Proverbs was written as a manual to teach groups of young guys about wisdom. Wisdom, they were taught, is to be gone after, to be pursued, to be chased, to be cherished. And so it was personified as a lady. And the book says that's what we need. We need a relationship with wisdom if we want to be wise. Not so much mastering a bunch of rules as having a love affair with wisdom. So personifying wisdom as an attractive lady, that's a nice image, right? That makes sense. That's clever. Wonderful teaching technique, personification of wisdom. But what if it's more than that? What if it's real? What if it's a real offer? What if wisdom was actually somebody you could know and relate to and love and learn from? What if there was a person that having a relationship with would lead you to be wise? Wouldn't that be good? Especially for people who never had good parents, for people who never had a good coach, never had a good mentor in life. What if wisdom were a person? And Jesus says, come to me for wisdom. He says, I'm wisdom in one person. A relationship with me, Jesus says, is the package that you need to learn wisdom. Living and learning from me, he says, will make you wise. Sometimes people say, if you could just prove to me that there's a God, if you just gave me overwhelming evidence, I would follow him. But folks, what if God didn't give us an airtight argument to prove his reality? What if he gave us an airtight person? What if the wisdom we need for living life is all wrapped up in Jesus? Then the more we read about him, the more we think like him, the more we learn to react naturally in situations like he did, the more we learn to value people the way that he valued people, the wiser we would become, the better we would know how things work, the more aware we would be of how things really are, the more we would be able to do. The reason we read scriptures is not for heavenly brownie points. It's so we can know Jesus better, see him clearer, love him deeper. The reason we ask and expect Jesus is present in every situation in our life is because he's wise and we need his wisdom to be able to help those who are around us that we want to lead towards him. The way to wisdom is a relationship with the guy who is wise. The way to wisdom is to become a disciple of Jesus. Do life with him. Have a relationship with him. Let him teach you. Learn from him. When wisdom calls you, and he is, answer. And he will help you choose wisely in life. My college professor said, the Bible contains an answer to every question in life that matters in terms of your relationship with God and your relationship with others. And I will say, with all due respect, no, it doesn't. But it can point you to the one who does. Follow Jesus and be wise. Let's pray.